Hello, Gallatin Valley and online listeners. You are listening to KGVM, broadcasting at 95.9 FM and streaming at kgvm.org. I'm Roxana, and this is Desert Oracle Radio Replay. I have a recent episode of Desert Oracle Radio for you in a few minutes, and this one has a focus that's new to our past shows, so stay tuned. First, let's catch up. I hope you've been enjoying this Memorial Day weekend. It's sometimes celebrated as a day off work, and sometimes just another work day, but traditionally, to many, it's a time to remember those who have died in wars. I have a brother, a veteran, who died of cancer long after his service was over, and I remember those like him who served. I also remember those that fought and died for peace in other ways. I wish our species would rise above war to find solutions. I hope someday we will. Let's look at what's happening in our area coming up. Well, Sacagawea Audubon has some events this next weekend that are already filled, so here's a heads up that might give you a chance to get signed up for a couple other events. June 7th, there's a walk led by Steve Du Bois at Bozeman Fish Technology Center and Drinking Horse Mountain. This tour will also include a drive to see birds closer to Three Forks. So contact Steve at sdubois907@gmail.com to sign up or get more information. And on June 10th, Robin Wolcott leads an outing along Little Mission Creek near Livingston. For more information or to sign up, contact Robin at pajaros@weewolcott.com. And now that my kitty has quieted down, Montana Native Plant Society has some June events you might like. On Saturday, June 3rd at 9 a.m., our local Valley of Flowers chapter is hosting the Kagi Road Cut Weed Pull. For more information, please email stevieversman61@gmail.com or call Sharon at 406-586-6788. And another opportunity that caught my eye is an up-close look at the world of lichens in Butte. Contact Karen Porter at karenwporter44@gmail.com to sign up or get more information. Well, now I want to share what I've been up to. Last week, I took a long road trip. The goal was Kansas City, where there were a couple high school graduations to celebrate, and that was a joy. But before I got there, I drove across South Dakota and Iowa, meeting new people and seeing a friend and some family I have not seen in 13 years. I'll tell you a little about that journey in the second half of the show today. But right now, it's time for Desert Oracle Radio. This episode was produced by Ken Lane on May 12, 2023, and features poetry, science fiction, and independent bookstores. The title is Space Radio, A Transmission. Enjoy!
Transmitting from the Mojave Wilderness in Joshua Tree, California, now is the time for Desert Oracle Radio, the voice of the desert.
Night has fallen on the desert. The cactus are blooming, beaver tail and cholla and hedgehog cactus. And the orange mallow is everywhere, and I don't mind saying it again. This is the most beautiful, mild springtime in I don't know how long up here. And it is middle May. Enjoy it while it lasts. Because you know what's coming next. Furnace time. But not yet. From you have I been absent in the spring. When proud pied April, dressed in all his trim, hath put a spirit of youth in everything that heavy Saturn laughed and leaped with him. Yet nor the lays of birds, nor the sweet smell of different flowers in odor and in hue that make me any summer story tell, or from their proud lap pluck them where they grew. Nor did I wonder at the lily's white, nor praise the deep vermilion in the rose. They were but sweet, but figures of delight, drawn after you, you pattern of all those. Yet seemed it winter still, and you away, as with your shadow I with these did play. That's sonnet number 98 by William Shakespeare.
Space radio. Space radio. Space radio. Space radio. This is the last space radio broadcast. We cannot reach you with our words because of the way you behave, because of the way you trip your feet and snap your fingers to an inner symphony we cannot hear. Therefore, we must leave you to your fate. This is the last space radio broadcast. We have tried to reach you through your schools, through your journals, your television, your art shows. We have tried through your governments, through your cinema, and your town planning. We have even tried through your plumbing, your 10-pin bowling. We have written novels and published millions of books in a language that attracts your eye. We have altered the course of rivers and put warnings in the lines of airplane designs. We have tried to reach you through the sweets you suck, the videos you listen to, through your partner's roll-on deodorants, or the flavour of your tea, through the kind of glue you sniff, or the kind of rock and roll music you listen to, or the brand of cigarette you smoke. But it has all been in vain. You have thought it all a mirage, a con trick, or a game. This is the last space radio broadcast. Space radio was launched secretly by a consortium of artists and free men in July 1963, when the dangers of overpopulation and the possibility of nuclear war and death by pollution and urban decay had become an hourly anxiety of our race and forced us to take our drastic action. It was on the day when the stars became a human frontier with the launch into space of our hero, Yuri Gagarin. Since then, Repeated broadcasts have been made to you by us, your artists and writers, to warn you of the perils you face. But now, after long trials and the exhaustion of our fuel and the bankruptcy of our souls, we have been forced to concede defeat. This has been the last space radio broadcast. And now, the curtain drawn once more, you may continue with your entertainment.
This is Desert Oracle Radio, and our guest tonight is Joshua Tree's own Jean-Paul Garnier, owner and operator of the Space Cowboy Bookshop, right there in the Sun Alley Shops. He is the host of the Simultaneous Times Science Fiction Podcast and the publisher and editor of Space Cowboy Books. Welcome back to the program, Jean-Paul.
Thank you so much, Ken. It's a tremendous honor to be back with you.
The last time you were on the program, it was before the pandemic began, and I was looking up the show last night, and we were in the studio together at Z1077 FM talking about time travel. It's such a trippy show. I haven't heard it in years.
Yeah, it was a fun one. And as most people that know me, and as you know, time travel is something very near and dear to my heart and to my traveling experiences.
I'm going to put the link up for that show after we finish with this program, because it's a good listen. A lot of people started listening to Desert Oracle Radio during the pandemic, and not everybody knows there's a trove of weirdness and fun and other stuff too back there, going back to 2017. Anyway, we were having dinner and drinks the other night talking about book publishing and William Burroughs and Jack Parsons, and you handed me this beautiful new hardback volume that I'm looking at here in the studio. It has a very striking design, and the book is Complete Poems, 1965 through 2020, by Michael Butterworth. Now, you've been publishing sci-fi paperbacks, I guess, somewhat in the style of classic pulp paperbacks, but this here is a weighty, heavy, beautiful object. Michael Butterworth wasn't a name I recognized, but there he is, staring moodily from the cover photograph in this otherwise orange and black dust jacket. And it did that rare thing a cover does for me. It made me want to grab it and open it. And space radio is what opened for me, and the way book divination generally works when you're ready for it. That's when we heard some of Michael Butterworth reading at the beginning of our interview a few moments ago, and it really got right to me. So tell me a little bit about Michael Butterworth, how he came to have his collected poems published in Joshua Tree.
Well, Michael Butterworth is an extraordinary man. He's had an extraordinary life, and he is a absolutely fabulous writer. Friend of ours, a mutual friend, introduced us back in I think late 2019, and through the course of our conversations during the the lockdown era, he's in the UK. He's a Manchester author. Finances were obviously difficult for everybody at the time, and I thought, hey, let's I threw it out there, if you want to republish one of your old books from back in the day, I'd be more than happy to do that for you, because I really think that your work is excellent. And he said, well, I have a collection that's unpublished, would you be interested in that? And of course I started drooling, having been a fan of his work for a while. And it turned out that while he'd been publishing poetry since the mid-60s, he had never had them compiled into a book. And so we both thought, well, this is high time to compile this into one lovely edition. So we decided to do our first hardback, and I'm glad we did. We also did it in paperback, and of course the accompanying album, which is selections from the book with musical accompaniment by a bunch of local musicians, Fog Machine, Julie Carpenter, Field Collapse, and I did the music for a few of the shorter tracks. Back in the day, Michael had got his start in the new wave of science fiction in the UK scene with New Worlds magazine, had written the Hawkwind books with Michael Moorcock.
That was a whole series, right? The Hawkwind books?
There was several of them, and they're really hilarious. You know, they're almost that Hawkwind is superhero. And for anyone that's not familiar with Hawkwind, you know, they're much more than a band. There's a whole mythos around it that's pretty neat. Moorcock had been writing lyrics for them, and you know, one of those interesting examples of how music and the new wave of science fiction really coincided and influenced each other. You know, with bands like The Normal basing songs off J.G. Ballard books, and you know, that kind of just goes on and on. He'd also done the novelizations for the Space 1999 show, the books to accompany that. He did many of those. But his career has been broad and many fascinating books. You know, one of them, and they're all over the place, one of them, Blue Monday Diaries, is about his time in the studio with New Order, recording Blue Monday and Power, Corruption, and Lies. That is a very interesting slice of the band, but also of England at the time.
So this was Manchester, 1980s, 79, early 80s?
Early 80s, yeah. The recording happened in London, but he hitchhiked down from Manchester to do that. He's still writing lots of fantastic stuff. You know, his most recent work outside of Complete Poems is a book called My Servant the Wind, which is a beautiful epistolary novel of overlapping diaries that take place in the past and in the future, as well as a collection of his short stories just entitled Butterworth, both from Knoll 23 Press. Those were my introduction to his work, and I fell in love with it immediately. He has a very, very unique style. But he's not just a writer. He edited for small press magazines. He ran Savoy Books, which was owned a series of bookstores in the Manchester area, as well as publishing many books, an incredible catalog, including the last book to ever be banned in the UK.
Which one was that?
It's called Lord Whore from David Britton. Michael worked on that substantially, and David, the author, did some time for this, and I think Michael narrowly escaped that. So, you know, certainly iconoclast in the publishing business, but they did comics and CDs and all manner of things. So really just an extraordinary career.
So I read many of the poems and Complete Poems by Michael Butterworth in the last day or two, and I was surprised and delighted, knowing his background from you, that his poems are very much general audience poetry interest, I would say. There's definitely some speculative fiction sort of elements in space and whatnot, but most of it is kind of slice of bohemian life and kind of Thatcher England.
Yes, it certainly does address that era, and it addresses many eras, which is something that's so interesting. I mean, Michael was just there for so many different things, and is a diarist by nature, so always putting down his thoughts, and a sort of inadvertent aspect of the Complete Poems book is that it can almost read like a biography if you read it in linear order, and it's separated in eras. So you definitely get the more speculative side. There's some slice of life. There's charming things written to his grandkids. And then a lot of it, the later work, is more centered around Buddhism. But what's interesting is, you know, once you get towards the end and the more Buddhist-themed poems, you can see, I mean, one of the great things about Buddhist poems is how they address the nature of time and immediacy. And I feel that by the time you get to that in the book, you sort of recognize that this immediacy is something that's been with Butterworth's work throughout his career. And I'm very impressed by that, because dealing with the nature of time in writing can be very tricky. In some cases, our language, the English language, just isn't particularly adept at handling it. So I very much appreciate that the work is very centered in the now.
Yeah, I love that one of the later ones was, what was it called? Zazen and Bookchain. Towards the end of it, he's in a bookstore doing shrink wrapping in like a chain bookstore. One of those lovely kind of, you know, beat style little Zen poems.
Yeah, and in a way, I think one could look at Butterworth as a post-beat writer, certainly influenced by the work that the Beats had done.
Now, we've all kind of been through the ringer in recent years. It has gladdened my heart that Space Cowboy Books is still here and is now the only bookstore in Joshua Tree or Yucca Valley, as we've lost our longtime used bookstores in Yucca. And you're the survivor.
Yeah, it's very tragic, the loss of our bookstores in Yucca. From what I understand, Sagebrush retired, so that's not too sad a story, although very sad to see them go. But the loss of Cactus Rent is a great blow to the community. Very sad. I went in there on one of their last days, and my heart was just kind of breaking for them. And, you know, that was one of the first places I went when I came out here, of course, because, you know, the bookstore should be the first stop, or always is for me.
Right.
And you can really get a sense of a place by, you know, what the people that live there read.
They were good people and, well, kind of like I do in most bookstores, I'd bring them Desert Oracles and they'd hand me $20 or whatever, and I'd immediately spend it on books because they had all this fantastic stuff.
Yeah, it was a really great place, and I think it's hopefully it's not indicative of broader changes in our community, but it is always heartbreaking to see a bookstore go. You know, there was close calls for me too over the last couple of years, but you know, I think that's just the book business and compounded by the pandemic, but I'm not going to let go easily. You know, a community needs a bookstore and a community space that a bookstore can provide. Fortunately, the larger science fiction community really came to my aid and showed a lot of support, you know, on the global side of things, which is very cool because I feel like today science fiction is an international conversation, and it's a delight to work with people like Michael in the UK, or, you know, I've also been publishing writers through the podcast from Sri Lanka, Brazil, Israel, really all over the world. So,
this is Simultaneous Times, the podcast, and tell people where they can find that.
That you can find pretty much anywhere you listen to podcasts. Look up Simultaneous Times or Space Cowboy Books. It should come up. It's all linked to on spacecowboybooks.com. And we do an episode every month that features two or three short stories set to music. We've got a lovely team of composers. Red, Blue, Black, Silver did a lot of our music for many of the first 5 years.
That's right.
Of course, your listeners will be familiar with Red, Blue, Black, Silver's gorgeous soundtracks. So yeah, the podcast is in its sixth year now. I think we're just about to put out our 63rd episode, and still growing strong with that. It's a lot of fun, and like I said, the opportunity to work with authors from all over the world and hear different people's stories, I feel is incredibly important today, especially as our country has flirted with isolationism to keep that global conversation going.
And science fiction has always been a very international kind of business from as long as I can remember. People used to cherish their like samizdat Russian sci-fi during the Soviet era and that kind of thing. And you are publishing more books than ever. Is this true?
That's true. The focus of the bookstore, of course, the bookstore is not going anywhere, but we're moving deeper and deeper into the publishing world. We were doing a fanzine for the last couple of years, but we just pushed that aside to publish more books. So up next is a paperback companion series to the podcast, the Simultaneous Times Paperback Anthologies. We've done two paperbacks, and then on our website, there's version 2, or volume 2.5, which you can download for free, which is all international authors. The first two focused on local authors, and the third volume has just headed off to the book designer, so hopefully will be out late this summer, and that again has some local authors but also an international cast of writers. So that's quite exciting. And then we are currently in the works of doing our first nonfiction book, which will be another hardback. Don't want to give too many spoilers on that. It's sort of secret at the moment, but this is going to be a really interesting book. It's not a science fiction book, but there is certainly crossover with the world of science fiction.
Oh, I think I've heard about this one. We'll talk about this when it comes out. And your shop is open on what days? You're open weekends and what else?
I'm open Friday through Monday at the moment. I'm usually there 11 to 2 on Fridays and Mondays and 11 to 5 on Saturday, Sunday. That being said, if anyone's in town and wants to come on by and I'm not there, I live just up the street. My number's online. Text or call. I'll come down and meet you.
Well, what's the weirdest thing that's happened to you in the last 6 months?
The weirdest thing that's happened to me in the last 6 months?
You can make it a year.
Well, I think, I don't know if this classifies as super weird, but, you know, lately I've been sort of trying to approach impossible goals. You know, to look at impossibility differently and see if I can overcome what I think to be impossible. So maybe it's more of a struggle against my own belief system. But I found that things that seemed insurmountable are completely out of hand. If I dedicate a little bit of each day towards getting there, that it has become possible. I know that sounds overly vague, but to try and take on greater and greater challenges, whether physically or mentally, that's been quite something.
It reminds me of something I was rereading recently, which was William James' The Varieties of Religious Experience. And he quotes at length from another work where this guy has a Buddhist sort of revelation than a lot of the more Christian-based revelations that are in the rest of James's lectures. But he says that he works with this teacher for a bit who says, if it is possible to get rid of anger and worry, why is it necessary to have them at all? I felt the strength of the argument and at once accepted the reasoning. The baby had discovered that it could walk. It would scorn to creep no longer.
That's lovely.
Yeah. So all of his both goals and the weights on his shoulders from life just faded away as soon as he made a choice to not have worry and to not have anger. And I thought it was incredible.
It is, and that sort of thing can be transformative. Just a side note, if any of your listeners go to read that book, which they should because it's an excellent one, there's a lecture series that developed around that, and Carl Sagan wrote a book called The Varieties of Scientific Experience as part of that lecture series, which obviously is a reference to the book you're talking about.
Mm-hmm,
that's
highly
worth reading too. But something that you reminded me of that I encountered recently, and again, speaking of William Burroughs, I was reading a book about him of stuff that he'd written for short presses. And in one of the introductions, one of his friends said, Burroughs was the only man I'd ever met that could delight in his own misfortune. And That sort of, to me, has instigated a whole new philosophy of it's experiencing life as the point of life.
Right, so, right. Well, that's why Burroughs ultimately rejected Buddhism for himself, but he thought for a lot of Westerners in general, because he thought that avoiding suffering was missing the meaning of life.
Indeed, that everything we go through in life is worthwhile and makes it beautiful, or the contrast, the interval between those things. So that was something kind of transformative to encounter lately. And coinciding that with, you know, rereading the Bhagavad Gita, which something that was a big part of my younger life when I was a part of the Hare Krishna temple as a youth, you know, to the idea of work without fruition. Each of us has a voice inside of us telling us what needs to be done. And if you listen to that voice, that's all you need. You know, it's not the result of the behavior. It is doing what you were supposed to do. And there's a voice inside of each of us that says that. Interestingly, this is probably the weirdest thing that happened to me over the last couple of years. I had developed a regimen for myself of writing, reading, and, you know, just the behaviors throughout my day. And I found that, and I didn't even notice it at first, that my inner voice had gone silent. And I attribute that to the fact that I was doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing, and so the inner voice didn't need to nag at me. After about a year, it slowly crept back in, which told me, hey, you need to focus again on this path. It's not so much an event as a non-thing that happened.
But that is very interesting. Yeah, I've noticed that when I am doing what I'm supposed to be doing, there are no thoughts about doing anything else.
Yeah, it's amazing, because I think that voice inside of you is there to remind you, and it's so often we don't listen to it. You know, one of the great reasons I think people are attracted to the desert, because there's such silence here, the noise, the chaos inside of you becomes much more apparent, I think, which is why a lot of people go through a transformation their first few years in the desert, because that clutter inside can be quite noisy against this great, beautiful silence that we're surrounded with here.
That's a beautiful way to end this. Let's say farewell to Jean-Paul Garnier, and congratulations on Collected Poems to you and Michael Butterworth, 1965-2020. You have this at the shop, I imagine?
Yeah, come on down and get an autographed copy. We've got autographed copies for our customers. Of course, it's available online anywhere you can buy books. Encourage you to shop indie, though, bookshop.org. Support your local indies wherever you can. This book is widely distributed, so you should be able to find it in your area if you ask your local bookseller.
Very good. Thanks for coming back on the show. Let's do it again.
Thank you, Ken. Always a pleasure.
From Amboina's Isaacs and across the great Mojave Wilderness and beyond, you've been listening to Desert Oracle Radio. We heard some new soundscapes tonight by our own Red, Blue, Black, Silver. And on the Michael Butterworth poem, Space Radio, the soundtrack was by Fog Machine. Good night from the voice of the desert.
Well, that episode had me thinking about a lot of different things. Do you have a favorite independent bookstore? I think after that show, I will be visiting mine looking for that book. I confess I hadn't heard of that author before. What did you think about the poem, Space Radio, read by its author? This time of year, many of us are traveling to events, or just for a change of scene. When I traveled east a couple of weeks ago, my trip included a visit to a sculpture park that I had never had time to explore before now. The Porter Sculpture Park is just off I-90, exit 374, in eastern South Dakota, and I recommend it if you have the time. Here's a little interview with the artist. Okay, I am traveling across South Dakota, and today I took exit 374 off of I-90, and I am at the Porter Sculpture Park, and I'm talking to the artist who has created this park. Okay, so I'm going to have the creator of this park introduce himself and tell you a little bit about the park, how long it's been here, and how it came to be.
My name is Wayne Porter. I grew up in about 70 miles east of the river. The river, we say the river, we mean the Missouri River. I'm from cattle country. I grew up in this. I went to the same school that world champion rodeo riders, the Up Hour Boys, grew up, not far from where K.C. Tibbs grew up. And my father was a blacksmith. And I grew up hammering steel as a young kid. And I listened to all the World War II stories, World War I stories, old tractor stories. I didn't appreciate it then because I was a kid. and I had studied political science and history. And I did a really smart thing when I got out of school. I started a sheep ranch. That was a brilliant idea. I recommend it to everyone. Well, the sheep are on grass. I know the rumors that people who go out in the prairie herding sheep have to be crazy. I am not. So during the summer, when the sheep were on grass, I would go hammer out a sculpture, and I raised sheep for long enough that I had a pile of sculpture from the blacksmith shop, and people wanted to come to see it and wanted to pay to see it. And I said, you don't pay for it. It's around Main Street. They'd pay for it anyway. And so I said, boy, this isn't sheep ranching. So I got rid of the sheep and went to, moved 150 miles away to Montrose, Sioux Falls area, found a cow pasture where I feel at home, and put my sculptures in the field, and I make a living just sitting here talking to crazy people like me all day.
He also has a lot of poetry posted out there. I just walked the route that goes through the park, and I must say that the sculptures are whimsical, playful, but also make you think deep because of the poetry. So I'm hoping he'll tell us about that a little bit.
The poetry is written by my dog, Bambino, world's greatest dog. He's famous. He has no vinyl blindism, though. Homer is a great poet, and he was blind. I have the opposable thumb, so I have to technically write it down. But there's like a 3/4 mile of trail. I explain it with poetry.
So, Wayne, what is your favorite sculpture out there?
The bull. Always the bull. I love the power and energy of bull. I love a good bull-a-rama. You just got to love a bull.
And do you have a favorite poem?
Ordinary Man I like. Of my poetry. Yeah, or my dog's poetry. I like all his poetry.
And is there one question that you've never been asked that you wish someone would ask?
Yeah, why do they still make butter brickle ice cream? It is so bloody awful.
Thank you very much.
And here is his poem, Ordinary Man. I am an ordinary man. I live ordinary days. I move about in ordinary ways. The sound of the surf, the smile of the child, flowers growing wild, are the day's worth. Give me the bird as it sings, the wind through the rye, the stars in the sky. Give me ordinary things. I am an ordinary man. I live ordinary days. It's ordinary things that I have learned to praise. You can see the sculptures online at his website, portersculpturepark.com. It's spelled just like it sounds. I also visited my longtime friend, the poet and writer Kelly Madigan, at her farmhouse in Iowa. She read a few of her poems for me.
Treats for Virginia. The dead want their say. So they commandeer the clock, knock on pipes, open cabinets. We put our heads together, ask, what is she trying to tell us? At the opera, all your channels open. So you ask her, what do you want us to know? If you thought the answer would be mystical, a reference to the golden ratio, an ancient wisdom marked down in a brittle scroll, then you don't know our dead. She wants what she has always wanted, to be remembered. Fancy cupcakes or tiny quiches, a flat garden stone with her name. To be made a fuss over, to not ever forget to say her name. Last year's injured turkey vulture hopped around here for weeks, accepted by the dog and cat, shredding the pheasant carcass I tossed its way. There was plenty to eat in a year when the deer went to the water's edge to die, and nothing seemed to bother it, not even the local coyotes. Migration was out of the question, and the sky had emptied itself of these tick-tock blackbirds, leaving the guy we called Sunshine behind. A few phone calls, a plan, and a ride in a pet carrier to a raptor rehab a few hours away, he had a place to heal up, get flight ready. They released him when the other vultures returned in the spring. Yesterday, one vulture circled our place. Today, a seance of vultures, five or more, surveyed the surroundings. I don't pretend to know the logic of birds. Can't know if Sunshine recalls me, thinks of us favorably, remembers an easy source of dog food or pheasant carcass. But every grown turkey vulture in the sky now could be one I know. That one, the healed and living and probably lucky vulture of my valley, tipping his wing, toying with the cat and dog, checking out the food bowl. Every shadow crossing the yard or perched on the barn is now and always could be Sunshine. This one doesn't have a title yet. This is a draft from April. In psychology, they tell me an internal locus of control means I believe I'm steering the ship, making things happen in my life. An external locus of control instead would have me certain that forces outside of me are in control. There's a test to reveal the location of this center of action, but most of us display through words and deeds where it lies. Truthfully, it's a mix of both in everyone. Which is why I can plot a 50-year retirement plan, write oversized lists and thick-point Sharpie, knuckle down to write a poem a day, or lace my shoes to walk across the panhandle of Nebraska, while still being the person who might ask St. Anthony where I hid my extra charger, or ask for protection from accidents and animals on the road at the start of every long drive, or close my eyes to place the baby at the feet of God. A prayer for protection. I left the church, but missed the incense, the communion with the saints and the departed. Some say God stands for good, orderly direction. Some refer to the indwelling Christ. And I have been quickened and awakened by dreams that shook me with truth or revelation, and many things happen, the great mystery that I cannot explain, but take as omens. I know I am the steward of this life, so I schedule the mammograms, pay off the debt. But when my car gives way on the icy overpass, or the phone call comes that we will forever wish we hadn't answered, I cry out the shortest prayer I know. Help! Spitting it out to the unknown, to the wheel that turns, the Father, Mother, God, the river that won't let me sink and stay down, but carries me in her invisible current.
You can learn more about Kelly at her website at kmadigan.com. That's kmadigan.com. This summer, I will be visiting more places and people right here in Montana, and I'll be sharing what I learn with you. Thank you, Gallatin Valley, for listening. As always, you can call me and leave a message about anything on your mind. The number is 406-404-6246. And remember to spread the word that you can hear this program on the air at 95.9 FM Bozeman Community Radio. Or you can stream it online at kgbm.org at 7 p.m. Sunday and 9 a.m. Monday. And guess what? Now you can listen to all my Desert Oracle radio replay shows on the kgvm.org webpage. Just go to the homepage and scroll down to the environment section. Click on Desert Oracle Radio Replay and you will see all the shows I have done so far. Click on the number of any episode to play it. Thanks so very much to Bob Wall and KGBM for getting this set up. That's it for today. So till next time, listeners, be safe, stay well, and sweet dreams. Thanks to Larry Pattis for his song, What Tomorrow Brings, to take us out.